Blog Talk Radio.
We're about to take it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Tommy and Bruce Lee on the radio. Dr. Joe's therapy on the radio. The love got me going high on the radio. Two mics and a mind on the radio.
Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Two mics and a mind.
Welcome to Two Minds and a Mind. Please stand by for the show that's on StreamYard.
That what we got until he gets his news, get there. I know we have a lot of news stories every week. A lot of times we get around. So we talk to unrehearsed, unscripted. But what did we have going on in the news? I think we did some pretty good things last week, too, and other weeks as well. But what do we got going on? There's a lot of people out on that. They got to get their Christmas just ain't Christmas without the lies you tell. Keep on staying around with Santa. You're gonna burn in hell. Stop it. Yeah, that's just wasting time. I know people are looking at getting Christmas warm, Christmas blues, and need to be with family. They know, though, it's playing out. It's not just, you know, if you don't see the height, I don't know about it in your end of the town, your end of the woods, but I tell you what, I hadn't seen it. It's like this been piss poor. I seen the traffic picking up today, but far as how Christmas used to be celebrated done, people got tired. I think people kind of getting hit. It's just a scam. They'll take the time off of work, especially with pay. At the end of the day, they're just raping them, taking their money so they can make their numbers and quotas and come back and text you. And, you know, you're not going to break people. But at some point, you need to get smart and use your head. You know, people that put these Christmas decorations on, you wonder why people break in your house. You're inviting criminals to break in your home and attack your family. We're in one of the worst economies ever, worse than the 1928 fake stock market. There was no stock market crash. They actually staged that so they could create the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, it's a private entity. They used the fake crash, and that crash was created because they put the fear on the street that banks couldn't give people back their money. And the problem is they tell you that you go to bank. You know, we couldn't get our money out of the bank, right? That was a way to get it. Of course you can't get your money out of the bank if everybody went, because your money's not there. Your money's in loans. Your money's processing. Your money's been wired to other places. So, I mean, but you know, the way they tell it to you, it starts that panic hype of they don't have some of your money. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are other games they play, but let's just do, banks just keeping your money can't make money. Banks with your money have to put money out so you can gain more money and make profit so you can continue to leave the bank open. If you do the percentage that most people pay on the account, it's not enough to operate a bank. You have to have loans given out to recoup money to pay COs, pay bankers, pay secretary, pay auditors, pay attorneys. It's a lot goes into banking, be aware of. So when you hear stupid conversation, you don't just let it hurt you or put you on a detrimental state of panic and run to the bank and pull your money out. You know, it's whatever you choose to do, just sit down and just, you know, get yourself conscious so you don't let people just say anything.
Right. And it's so sad that society has put in us that we have to buy all these gifts. So over here, we do have the store still packed before buying presents, before traffic is horrendous. And no matter what the economy is, I feel like society has put that in our head where we have to buy gifts. We have to get this food ready, and it's just a lot of burden.
So we got love dot on two computers.
No.
What's going on? What's going on, everybody?
Let's go.
Man,
y'all like, oh, I can't see his face. I mean, look at Tula smiling. Look at
Let me see, said the blind man.
tried to scroll back through real quick, and I couldn't, Oh, you know what? You know what? Hold on.
Across the top.
I just found it. He had sent a link. He sent the actual video.
I don't ever remember saying he sent a link. I think I asked for one now.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he sent the actual file.
He sent three?
Yeah, it's a lot of files that he sent. I gotta figure out how to get it off my phone, get it onto this laptop so that I can play it. So if y'all
is 20 pounds of air and some grease to have some fun.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know how many women they're gonna get rid of? You know, I had a doctor once. He was a homeopathic doctor, not homosexual, homeopathic. And I think homeopathic doctors are great. I really love our doctor we use. Now, all of us have gone to her. We shout out to Dr. Chong. She's great. Really great. People first. Helping people. I'm really good, enthusiasm. I have a lot of enthusiasm for what she does, you know, how much she's helped and changed my life, my wife, my son, and others, you know, my daughter, Fred, and trying to get a big fat breeze in now. But the thing is, I remember I was in there with him, and he would talk with you, too. He was talking to me. He had got a phone call. He said, "Hey, excuse me." He was talking. He said, "Yes, that's fine. Okay. All right, bye." I hung up the phone. And he said, "Oh, yeah, that was one." He said, "That was one. Be a little more ruder." So he said, "Oh, yeah." I just looking. I figured it was a patient or a secretary. He said, "Yeah, he said, that's my wife. She ain't putting out no ass, I'm finna put out." I was like, "Wow." He said, "Anyway," he said, "I got a doll anyway I'm ordering." He said, "The doll is $8,000. He said, "It comes with, you pick the pubic hair." He said, "The doll has a pair of hair." When I tell y'all I was thrown so bad, this is a company I ain't asked for. He told me, and, you know, he was looking at his panty glands. He said, "This is my wife." He said, "She don't put out no ass to get out." I said, "Him like, it threw me. I didn't know how to respond. I mean, I was just stuck right there." Then he started telling me about this dog he was buying. The dog was like $8,000. The dog had a vocabulary. He said like 1,500 words, but they said they're going to cut them down to 300. He said, because every person's vocabulary doesn't have 1,500 words. So they're really looking to break it down to 300 words. I'm just blown away. I'm like, I never asked for this conversation. You know, he was just telling me about this dog. You get to pick the pubic hair, and you pick the language you want the dog to speak in. He was making payments. I was just it threw me. I had to just get away from it. I was like, damn, it's sick.
Right.
And you just told me that. I never asked for this ever. I'm on the phone. You know, you can clue somebody to something. I think because I'm sitting in the office, you just get to the bill, okay, because I'm doing something. I just took a call. I have a patient here. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. He was talking about she was asking him about cooking him something, but he was like, if she ain't put out no ass, then he was going out of there. I was like, wow. And he done picked the dog, the pubic hair. He need to get the dog down to 300 words instead of, you know, the 1,500. I don't know, the average person vocabulary does not contain 300.
What?
Who in here agreed that the average person conversation contains 300 words?
You said vocabulary.
You ain't got to count. The average person don't know that. But that's not in conversation. Especially 1,500 words. The person that knows 1,500 words don't use them. They'll forget them. Because it's circle.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, man, I mean, come on. It's 1,500 words. You know how much conversation you get lost in with 1,500 words?
Here's what I learned, because I had to write a paper. Words aren't as many as you think they are. Like,
exactly.
300 words sound like a whole lot of words, but that's probably only maybe two or three paragraphs if you write it down.
And even if you're writing something down, you repeat words a lot.
You guess what? Rappers and other people learn when they write it. They keep coming up with the same words. You can't invent new words. They're just there. I mean, vocabulary, when you're saying certain things, certain words just don't fit. And then you got to look at peer groups. So a lot of that has a lot to do with how many words you use. There's a lot of words we all know you forget because most people come. Depending on your groups, you know what I'm saying? That's going to determine, too, how broad or how dense, you know, the vocabulary communication is.
How much you use. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't know over 300 words. You just may not use them.
Okay, let's go with your start right now. Give me 300 words. But, you know, when you start to get your fillers, and I think they came in with a lot of the Greeks, the Latin, because they control a lot of our literature, a lot of our studies, a lot of our research comes from them. So a lot of times they'll put a lot of words. According to Google, the average person knows 20,000 to 35 words. I don't believe it at all.
It might be true, but
Look, Taylor had sex with 25,000 women. I don't believe it. Nobody believe it. You think I believe it? No. First of all, you're on mute.
No, Doc, if you're talking, we don't hear you, honey lamb. There you go.
That's a good thing. See that? That's some word we could do right there.
I took a foreign language course, and when I took a foreign language course, I'm telling y'all, in your mind, you think that 300 words is a whole lot of words. But when you become fluent in a language, it's really not. Like when I had to write a paper, people say you got to write an essay that's 300 words. In your mind, you're like, that's a whole lot of words. When you write the whole paper, you be like, oh, snap, this ain't that much. It's only like two, three paragraphs.
But you're repeating your words. You're not using different words in those essays that you're writing for school.
Yeah, that's all it does. You tell me you wrote a 300-page essay.
I'm saying I had to learn a new language. I had to learn how to speak Spanish. And we have words, and I had to take it for two semesters. I learned way more. In order for me to come fluent in Spanish, I had to learn way more, and I was surprised how many words that I had actually learned by the time, like when I actually went to Puerto Rico, I was like, oh, okay, I remember all this stuff. I'm able to pick up and learn more of a language.
Oh, doctor,
you want to
hear your
Spanish? Somebody
wants to say that.
He ain't saying nothing.
Something about today.
Make him feel up.
He thought I was going to hit it with a regular basis, Como aside, all that. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I told you. And I am rusty because I used to know it really, really well, but it's like what Tony was saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And speaking of using and losing, I was able to upload those clips from those Isaiah Thomas. Y'all want to go ahead and play it?
Use it so we won't lose it. That's what I'm talking about.
That's how many words he got, yeah.
On the west side of Chicago.
Where is
Michael Jordan got in Chicago. I made it real easy for him to walk those streets on the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
My family took care of him. My sister and his brother hung out as friends. My little nephew lived with Michael Jordan. I'm going to say this again. My little nephew lived. Now, I'm being extremely good to this dude. I'm calling his house during this period of time. So all this, you know, there was an accident. No, dude, I was looking out for you. Now, when we played, right, you ain't seen me hit Michael Jordan. Okay, now, on the west side of...
What's going on with it? That's what he said. What he said, he said,
big. That's one video. That was one video.
You got him in order, or you just play him?
That was one video. I'm just playing them. I don't know what order is what, but I'm just playing what I have uploaded. Here's the second video.
Y'all
want
him to
be
okay. Y'all changed all the rules so he can win.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute now. These are the facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go down the lane. I get my ass beat. You see pictures of Michael Cooper scratching Larry Bird's jersey off, right? You see Kevin McHale slamming Kurt Rambis to the floor. You see Dr. J, you know, spying on Bird, right? Everybody getting hit. Oh, but he can't get hit? So we're going to change all the rules so he can dunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's marketing the dunk.
You know what? It did.
Once you win, y'all change.
All right, that's pretty much a loop. I'm going to tell you what I hear, but I want to hear what y'all hear first.
You want to say, we didn't get it finished here. We don't want to hear the name you say. You don't even know what happened.
The man did an hour and a half video. I mean, an hour and a half interview. I don't know.
I need to look at
it. I played the clip that they were sent to me. It sounded like he was hating on that video that we just played.
I didn't get that. I think you hate. Man, you didn't grow up watching Zeke play. Zeke was really good. I'm a Michael Jordan fan. He's telling people what people need to know. Everybody's, you know, because he's got a play. If you don't know how much they have just laid into Isaiah Thomas about, you know, about stuff. And that, you know, I'm sure, man, you pissed, man. You got to used to everybody throwing your name around. Like, you know, damn, man, he's looking at how I get in this. You know what I'm saying? I think he's more pissed off with, you know. And then, you know, you get a bad rap, bad name, everybody running you down. Yeah, Michael Jordan. I think people hate each other, Michael Jordan. Like, come on, man.
I didn't know that.
For real.
That's wild.
Isaiah got ran down like
me
that.
Neither.
I didn't know none of this stuff. Me neither. Back in the day, this was before social media. So all the stuff
that
he's telling us about behind the scenes, that was never, like, public information.
I don't know where you got it. People knew he had it.
Michael Jordan
made it.
I don't know how you know. All you knew, you had the same TV I had. If you would turn that TV on, the game would come on. The NBA led, if they ask a few questions, that's it. I don't know what that's the inside.
I mean,
you
know, it came out after that he did.
No, in the social media world, it came out like probably the last 2 years or something. But when he was playing, I ain't know none of this stuff. I know that, like, I ain't even know Michael Jordan could talk. He was doing the interview. Hey, that. I think went up through the hole. I took it to the club, fourth quarter. That was it. And that's all you see of Michael Jordan. You have to wait till the next game to see him again. Hope that's your little 30-second clip of the press conference. That was it. Charles Parker said the worst thing that ever happened to these players was that social media, because you actually get to see them outside of court, off the court.
But they consider him a dirty player. That's the radical name. He ain't lying. He was one of the cleanest on a rough team, Isaiah. And the problem was, Detroit wasn't no worse than New York. They gave them guys those titles, the bad boys. Everybody, New York was dirty. New York was a slam Mike to the ground. So, I mean,
really?
It was a game. That's how they played it.
Exactly. And he's sad. It's 30 years later, and he mad because he ain't Michael Jordan. They hating on the man. He mad. He won't get
him in rough, man. He did a lot for the game. I'm being honest. I like Zeke. Zeke is in my top 15 all time. All day.
Yeah.
Hands down. Zeke all day. Isaiah was a man.
Yeah,
sure
he definitely
and was. You playing against 6'9"? Big Magic Johnson swinging around you with them 8?
I go for Muggsy Bowles. That's what I go for. Muggsy Bowles. That's what I go for.
And that Bowles ain't never won no championship. That's why he's selling that wood. Muggsy Bowles.
Y'all talking about championships.
Championships don't define
people. That's the white man trophy. The white man get y'all face. This is your butt.
That's
right. Y'all quite
here.
No. The man is mad because he couldn't win like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan still winning 30 years later. Everybody still got his shoes on. Isaiah Thomas is mad because his kids talking about, Dad, I want Michael Jordan's shoes for Christmas. And that's why he mad.
He
know his kids got some joys. Isaiah Thomas, ask him right now. I'm going to call him up, ask him right
call
now.
Call him, call him.
I got his number.
Call
Isaiah.
See if he answers.
You got this kid some joys.
Go ahead.
Call him. Let me see. We wait.
He went out here.
Hey, what's up, man? Don't believe I got your number, man. Hey, you got your kids joining for Christmas. I knew it. Hey, I'm in the middle of a show right now. I got to call you back. Yeah.
All right. Y'all want nobody dying those hell. Go work on everybody else. And this ain't him.
I just
woo,
proved it.
Baby.
You just saw it with your own eyeballs. I just proved it.
There's some delusion there. There's some delusion.
The man is
some delusion in there. But, okay.
Yeah. But that's what's up, though.
That's definitely
what's
up. Man, you're sick. But so, that was all I had, and then I thought I had something else he said on this. So now, I had heard one of those because he used the MF word. He was pissed.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of piss,
Yes.
You want to take this opportunity and segue to your clip, because he's talking about people being pissed, and that lady right there knows.
color acting out in these public places these days. I mean, like, taking, touching people, doing things. Just watch this retardation. I'm sorry.
Her children,
she was at the counter trying to, she had missed a flight previously, trying to get back on the plane, whatever. But her kids had walked away from her, and come to find out they had went to the restroom. So she was thinking, you know, somebody took her kids or whatever. So that's why she was saying, find her kids. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like when I'm trying to cut the fool by, they stole his wife and stole his necklace. They moved. You need to find where your kids at. Why would you make the airport responsible, though? I mean, yeah. The airport wasn't stolen.
That's what
I was thinking. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure
that out.
Yeah, I think
Karen's like a real. It's the one that let her do that alone, and the police, and I regret. There should have been so much security. That should have been ridiculous.
Yeah, but that was in Miami. That was in the Miami airport. Too.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, not to say Miami is not, you know, on their security mark, but it was. I was just letting you know where it took place. Miami.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I just feel like people should be a little bit more kind of ability of what they do. Like Tony said, you should be responsible for your children. What does the airport have to do with your children?
I don't know, but she was charged with aggravated battery, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. And this happened on Tuesday. So this past week.
With them tennis out.
She had on a tank top. I missed titties, but she was from Birmingham, Alabama. She was traveling to New York. You know how you do that little stopover.
Mhm.
So she was there in Miami trying to get on her plane. Yep. She had two minor kids. You know.
How old were your kids, did they say?
They just said they were minors. That's all. They didn't say how old they were. But yes. I don't know
what's going on, right? Maybe it might be the holidays. People are just out of control. More stress, more anxiety, reacting over things.
I agree with one of our callers, Rod. This is a very toxic culture. Even relationships, people are really just toxic to each other. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Was this like this when you guys were having a relationship? Because I feel like relationships are just toxic nowadays. People can't get along.
I think people with my day. Well, for me. Not if we didn't, it was a clean break. It wasn't anything like, I'm going to get you with her because you were her. I'm going to, you know, do something to y'all. It was a clean break. Okay, good. I mean, we're done. Hurt, you cry, whatever you got to do, you got to feel bad, but not to, in my mind, never came to do anything to anybody, you know?
Really?
But
I see people scratching, cut people's cars, breaking.
Oh, yeah, none of that stuff.
Bleaching people's clothes, and it's like, that's a lot of energy.
Now, I tell you that, what's her name, Jasmine Sullivan, when her that song came out, when she talking about, I bust the windows out your car, that song, when I heard that song the first, I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, wow. And I was like, yeah, girl. But I was like, I wouldn't do it, but yeah, girl.
Right.
You know, yeah, I got you. I feel you, but I wouldn't have thought about that. And I was thinking to myself, when I heard it, I was like, how could somebody think of a song like that? That was just crazy. Even the music, I don't recall music that I listen to reflected retaliation or doing something to somebody after a breakup. I could be wrong. What about you, Tony, if you ain't watching TV?
Excuse you?
I know you watching that show. Goodness. I said, what about you? What about you with
and he knows you're right, but you smile.
Exactly.
Going. What the hell? Oh, dang. I'm trying to get the new story. I was trying to find
Okay.
Well, actually looking up, I wanted to see they had Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. Man, I wanted to get the part. You know, they supposed to have broken down. Oh, this was 4 years ago. They're supposed to have done an interview together. I was hearing about it where they started crying, and you know, they had this long breakup behind it. You know, once Magic came out with AIDS. It was notorious for greeting each other. He had his own room at Magic's house.
I remember that.
He came playing in Maine. He would stay at Magic's house. Him and Magic was really, really tight, best buddy friends. So when that AIDS thing died, it looked really bad. And then he's just in the sucker. Most men looked at it. You know, I don't want to be labeled a homosexual.
And then into the culture, we didn't know much about it.
Who didn't?
We didn't.
something that does not hurt people. You know, don't hurt your money. Go ahead.
It's snowing outside. Just want to give y'all that quick alert.
Are you serious?
Snow flurries. Yeah, I'm looking on my ring camera right now. It's snow flurries outside.
And that's not ice. That's not
sleet. Take your hand and throw that in as well.
But on that topic that Tony was talking about, I was watching this interview, and who are suffering are our children? This guy was, I think it was a guy who was interviewed, and he said that he was affected because he was raised by two same-sex parents. And a lot of his development was destroyed because a lot of the things that he was supposed to be learning were missing. And he said he was traumatized by the way he was raised by two same-sex parents. So I don't understand why we're advocating for this, allowing them to adopt children and raise them as if that's beneficial for us, our children.
Man, that mental health.
Don't forget, it had a hit the cash child. Hit the cash child. So we don't have to monetize. Well, let me say this. I'll say this. I know everybody wants to monetize or whatever. Because everybody look at with it. It gets you out. You can be seen. Of course, we want other people to see what we do, because we feel that we come on with a different texture where, you know, it's real, it's uncensored. We talk about real issues, we laugh, we disagree, we agree, and we allow you to come on and have the same. You can still be your own. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we give you that opportunity to, you know, think. So for us getting out, it's just offering a different type of atmosphere for people depending on what you're looking for. And every show ain't for everybody or every, you know, you know, whether it's radio, television, whatever. But at the same time, we will not compromise to say that there is not a real ailment and sickness out here in the world today, even with the COVID vaccine. You know, they have people that are actually dying from it that have effects. And that's more important to tell people than keep it quiet, call it some other bogus name. And like, I mean, you're not helping people. That's where we are. Why we got a lot? If I'm, hypothetically, if I'm on the street, and I shoot, hypothetically, Dr. Jones. And they ask, can you, this person that victimized her, well, I don't want to say it because it could be offensive. I want to call it. I don't want to call it a caller. The only way to catch it and correct it and fix it is to identify it. The COVID vaccine needs to be identified. Homosexuality is a problem. It needs to be identified. We have to stop calling things by other names and using pronouns and call it now what it is. That's the only way we can address it and see it for what it is. And I do the same thing with my preacher. I've been on television, with network. You know, they put so much junk on there, they took away. I was one of the hottest things on YouTube. But that's where the world goes, and they'll push it. Then everybody starts going to monetization, and now people start doing anything so you can get money versus people looking at integrity. You know what I'm saying? Then they'd be trusted. Then they'd say something to people and put confidence in what you're telling them. And then people that actually genuinely care, at the end, I always tell the people, hey, we love you. I mean that. For me, I love you. If nobody tells you I love you, people might not come up again. It's because the world is so crazy. There's so much going on. It's impossible to hug every person, but it's be honest, be true. But we all people. I've been there. You hate, you're mad, you're angry, you're doing that. At the end of the day, we all people. You know, and that's what we try to offer. For me, that's for me. I let you guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on, talking about a lot of solutions going on. I know I was reading an article earlier today about, and two, thank you for helping me find that article. The first was just a video of the Walmart, the lady went crazy in the Walmart. I couldn't find the actual article on it, but when I read that article, I was like, wow, it's a lot going on out there, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, also, well, you say, I'm sorry, somebody wants to dispute the false weather claim.
Exactly.
We're that type of show. We shoot it to be, if it's false information, it's false information. That's dangerous.
How are they going to tell me what's going on over where I'm living at?
Because they know what rain looks like on a rain camera.
I'm looking at the rain camera, and I see the flurries on the rain camera.
And that's not rain.
You might not be that.
It's a mist, and the light is hitting it, so it looks like it could be snow because the light is hitting the water, and you can't see because over that ugly hat. Well, the hat wouldn't be so ugly if it wasn't for that pumpkin sweater you got on. I know Dr. Joe said she lied.
Yeah, that's nice.
To tell patients that everything's okay even when they're sick so she can get them better. That really, you was a sicko back then.
Oh, my.
So later on, it'll come out about you that had that sweater. What made you put that combination together?
Black gold, everything.
Hold on, first of all, let me ask you a question.
Oh, you going to answer today? You answering today? I didn't expect you to answer no question.
First of all, what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to be able to see this right here. I want y'all to be able to zoom in. He asked, why did I wear this particular sweater? Because this right here is what the people want. The people request that this again right here. And for y'all who don't know, if you actually look at that, and y'all see the pattern in it? Y'all see the texture in it? Anybody know what kind of material it feels? Tuli, Dr. Joe, Tony, do y'all know what kind of material it feels?
I do.
I don't, but I know what it
is. Cotton.
What I'm going to say?
Tish.
Oh, marriage material. Yay. So lame.
I don't understand. Like, I have so many questions towards that material, but...
I know that's right. But you ain't going to get no answers. That's just how he rolls.
Yeah.
So rude.
I tell you what, I wanted to view them. They don't know they come, man. They're not liking it. They said definitely not husband material. Woman married. What man marries a skirt?
What?
Oh, that hurt. Now, you got to think about that now. Now, what was you telling about at Walmart?
So what ended up happening at Walmart, actually, you know what, I got a video. I can share that video with everybody really quick about the Walmart shooting that happened and transpired in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at this Walmart.
This week, the other day.
Putting herself so far that her only out was to die. and it's sad, you know, and that goes with, you know, having these real conversations, real talks, so people can learn other means of saying, when you make the decision, how far are you willing to go? Even if it costs your life, we have real causes that she could have put her life on the line standing up for. Every time I would have done that, she could have stood for, been an advocate proponent for. And yet you threw away your life to make this decision. But I'm just interested, do we know why, what that then, what led to this?
Yeah, what's the article say?
No, it just said, hold on.
It could be that this lady was going through something and she was looking for...
See, that's for the news. I didn't get that part.
Very deep depression, and it's sad.
Looking for the news. Get a camera, news, get an anchor out there right
yeah,
now. That was her thing.
That would learn...
I keep doing the wrong thing. Well, I don't know why the way. Anyway, nobody knows why she did it, of course, because they killed her, so.
Yeah, that's a bit. But you notice something she said. She called a cop a crooked cop. Y'all didn't know that.
Some of the guy who was recording, I don't know if he had on
trying to put the gun out and let her go. She said, no, he was telling her. She said, you crooked cop.
Right.
He's like, me?
He's talking to me?
That's odd that she said that. Yeah, she called him a crooked cop instead of saying all of them were crooked cops. What did she know?
Yeah,
her idea.
If the news media were the game, and a lot of times they won't give you the news media because some of the things look at what you could say. At the same time, people use news media, and now you say you go out with a bang, and everybody watched it live. So it's the reason why you want to bring the news media in there. You don't give a criminal everything they want. Especially trying to apprehend them, especially giving them the tools that can wind up backfiring on you. Because, like, if you have to make a thought to shoot like they did, no one got to see it, then it's not TV that's going to constantly play it, and then it can come under review. And instead of you guys being a rescuer of a person that was kidnapped or being held hostage, then it can come up that you got to actually kill someone, and it could have been another way to, you know, because you got the dog lovers, you got homosexual groups, gender groups, you got so many different groups, you got your religious fanatics. Everybody jumping in with their opinion on what the police should do, second guess. When it's real live moving, you got a person hostage, and you seem outraged, and you had this done a person, and you keep demanding something. So if you don't get it, we're not giving it to you feeling that you can use the news media to really do your assault, and it's live. This ain't constantly going, and all we ridicule backlash of what we should have done, and there's real time. When you move in real time, you can't go back to what people are saying. Well, you could have done this. You could have, when you weren't there, and it was real time, and we were trying to stop this. But we were trying to stop the take away the effect, you know, of what she had, or take away her ability to be able to hurt other people. Me and Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker, he's from the FBI. Yeah, I had went to the special op training and Secret Service MOA with. I don't know why these guys like to tell lies and stay with these places. They know they're going to expose them when they do it, but then when they do it, so there it is. It's sad. And she looked to be, what, in her
20s?
Yeah, she might have been
early 30s, late 20s.
From the voice, I don't see her as a 40-year-old.
From the voice?
I said, from the voice, I wouldn't take her as a 40-year-old. I would take her as an early 30s, late 20s. And sometimes you move and you get so upset, you got to look at when you made the decision, how far are you out here and where this can go? These are questions need to be known. Somebody know. They can tell you how it started. They had the cashier. And the customer service, was she trying to get a money order? That's a lot. When you take a person by hostage, it's one thing we going at it, okay, boom, 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 I put the gun and put out, I'm going to shoot you or snap you or we get to fighting. But I take you hostage, it's something going on. That's deeper. And that's something that should be kind of dug up and saw what happened. I mean, what led up to it? What was she dealing with? This the week of Christmas? You know, what pissed off? What did she lose her job, you know, earlier that week?
Yes.
And you all, and this lady was just that one thing to set her off with attitude or disrespect. I don't know. I'm just saying something. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't go home. I'm on the gun to your head in Walmart. Going home is not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say, it has to take a lot for you to grab a gun and put it in somebody's head. You have to be going through something that at that point you just don't get.
And you keep asking for the news. Why are you asking for the news?
Yeah, I
kind of
hate they didn't get that before she got killed.
Well, no, they wouldn't have never let them in. I'm sure they were down. They get on the radio. You can't let them in there because they can go bad. What if she shoot the news reporter too? Now you just cause another crisis. The whole end of you come to stuff like this is stop the threat. Neutralize the threat. It's not add more people. You don't need any more people because everybody in Walmart should have been cleared out. Only people should have been there were her, the lady she was holding hostage in the police.
Yeah.
Nobody should have been walked. Period. I don't care if it was a threat. Nobody. Everybody. It's kind of neutralize. You'll get more people.
But, Tony, what you're saying is, like, basic training, basic common sense. Why are they not doing this thing when it comes to this situation, you know, instead of just shooting and killing someone? After knowing the America is running by depression and anxiety at higher than 50% around world countries. So if you know that something's going on, because, again, it doesn't take, somebody has to be out of their mind or something's going on in order to grab a gun and put it in their hand. So just use your common sense. Something's going on with this woman. Let's evacuate the place and try to deal with this situation and not end up killing the person. So I don't know why is it that they're not doing this protocol. Somebody says she's 21, so she is young.
Is that the same person?
Well, you're from Arkansas. Yeah, you ready to go out.
Well, how you get way to Mississippi? She might be there for culture shock. Something ain't right. She might have been, ain't no telling what she's from.
Did I not say first 20?
She did not.
I don't know if that's right, good.
You said so. What I told y'all. Y'all say I went with y'all. I said early 30s, late 20s.
I said I went with y'all.
You remember I said that? I said she's definitely not in her 40s. I said late 20s and 20s. I know she was young. You just listen.
I don't think she was 21.
Let me, first of all, I'm going to verify that.
Because at 21, it makes sense. I'm telling you, nobody late 20, early 30, later 40s would make that decision. You, when you come, you already have it in your mind, I'm not going home. I can't go home. This is not going to end that way. I can get shot. A lot of things she did, she didn't process it well. And it went to that point, something happened and triggered her. Well, she triggered to a point and looked at, you ain't going home. Yeah, in Arkansas, they supposed to not let you go home. In Arkansas, you had a white woman cop. That's Walmart.
She was in Mississippi. Yes, sir.
But she was in Arkansas.
Right.
I said it's in Arkansas. I don't know.
The
girl, she was somewhere. Yeah, something triggered. And she kept wanting to know. She wanted to let them know what happened, and she wanted to get her side of the story, so she didn't look crazy. And she put that gun down, she don't think her story wouldn't come out the way she needed it. Man. It's bad.
Bad business, man. That's bad business. That's bad business. But it's a continuous process. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But y'all got any links or whatever y'all want me to share?
You text that to us.
Just hit it up in that private chat, and I'll definitely put them up for y'all. You want me to share the screen?
Yeah.
I know some other stuff that's been in the news has really been going viral. Is this whole Deion Sanders thing. He's back. He's back. He's back again. And this time, he actually did an interview, a detailed interview. Here's a quick little 30-second highlight from his interview.
What they asked is, Deion Sanders a sellout for you leading an ATV? Let me stop you right there. Okay, wait. What did I sell? The dream that was I wanted these kids to get to know the ride team, get to the NFL. We did that.
Right.
The dream that we want better facilities. And we're overlooked and underfunded. I've established that. And we made strides towards that. And I believe that we could graduate at a certain rate. I believe that we could treat these kids and raise them to be young men. That was the dream. Why did you start training? I ain't.
Right.
The dream continues.
CNN had a segment where they asked,
what happened?
I just played about 40 seconds of it. It's an hour and a half long interview.
We don't need an hour.
Well, we didn't get nothing from that. I don't know what. So tell me what we got.
So the title line, when you type in his name, it's a lot of title lines. I just picked a short clip. I don't know everything, but mostly that was part of his rebuttal. Based on what he was saying, is that, oh, listen, I mean, he said what he said on that rebuttal.
Like,
you know?
He just said why they stopped doing that.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half long. It's a lot of different highlights, but basically what's going viral is this different interview clip where he talks about the reason why he ended up transitioning going on. It's a lot of different clips that he hit on. I just randomly picked one of them or whatever because all of them going viral. But ultimately, one of the things that caught my attention on one of something that he said was something along the lines of, I guess, elevating the school from a Power Five, being able to transition the football program. But when you go to different programs, you have to not only transition the football team, you have to elevate the tennis team, the basketball team.
Oh.
You have to do all the other teams and make certain all the other teams on the same platform and elevate it, and you have that support. In another interview clip, which he did in existence, he said his agreement was only for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
He had a 2 year. He actually had a 2 year agreement. He said it was a 4 year contract with a 2 year guarantee agreement for 2 years. And he said as part of the contract, he agreed to do beyond 2 years minimum and do 3 years. So his contract was actually up. He actually exceeded the period of what he initially agreed to sign on with. So it's a lot of stuff here in the interview, but it's an hour and 20 minutes long. It's pretty thorough. I just know that he's blowing up. He's going viral right now on a lot of different topics owned by HBCU. And the overall thing that he was saying is that we all as a whole should continue to support and give back to HBCUs because there's actually a lack of alumni giving back, and we all should consider giving that. So that was pretty awesome right there, I thought.
But you're giving back to a white university that more or less is hampered, quote unquote, the so-called Negro in his advancement. I don't think that the quote unquote black universities offer the same advantages as the quote unquote white universities. You know, on a lot of ends, you know, there are curriculums you could take that they might, you know, master a little better, but overall, they're going to respect that white degree over that quote-unquote black degree any day of the week. It's the opportunity, the doors that open. You have a Stanford, certain university you put on that, Berkeley. You know, a lot of these universities are renowned, and people are going to respect them more than respect, you know, A&M, Agricultural Mechanical, which are great schools on a lot of ends, engineering. Anything in agriculture, they have a lot of great programs. I don't have different nursing programs, but they don't get to know a lot and give you the opportunity. You might get the skill level, but if you won't get the opportunity to get to a major platform where they'll offer you the money, they'll offer somebody with an M degree. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a tech degree. You know what I'm saying? Florida State degree, a UM degree, private universities. You pay that money because it's not just about what you learn, it's the influence it gives you. And the opportunity the people push you in the room. They said, this is why we charge. We're going to put you in the room with people. And they hear, that's where your degree comes from. We're hiring. We look for people that come from these universities. That's why they can charge the amount of money they charge. Versus the HBCU, they can't really offer you opportunities when you leave. You have to really get out. You have to scratch and make it. A lot of times they're not recognized. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys, whether or not you agree.
Mm.
I think it's all about connections. You're right. You're put into places where they give you connections. Like your internships are in places where they open doors.
Well, you get jobs when you leave. Love Doctor, you went to White University. They put you in for, you did your intern. You got hired on, didn't you?
I had the actual benefit to attend both a HBCU and a privately white institution. So I do see the pros and cons, you know, from being on the inside of seeing both perspectives. One thing that I noticed is that obviously we know that they're both actually owned and controlled by the whites. So we know that beyond that aspect of it, we also know, well, what I didn't know is the white school actually owned all the news stations. So all the crime that was ever reported on the news stations even though the schools are literally 5 minutes, the campus is 5 minutes from each other, all of the negative crime that would go on the black schools, that would make news headlines. I remember one day I was walking around the white campus school, and one of the students actually committed suicide. They went to the top of a dorm room that was probably about 10 stories high, and they jumped down and killed themselves. The whole road, streets blocked off, I mean, everything. It didn't make the news headline not one time, but that same night, all the crime about cars getting broken on the black school campus, that will continue to make the different headlines.
Yes.
What I also noticed is that when it comes to the actual, I think Georgia refers to it as the STEM program, science, engineering, mathematics, technology, the STEM. The quote-unquote A&M universities, which are predominantly black or historically black, quote-unquote, those actually have better programs to the degree of that even though I attended a predominantly white institute, their engineering program, they would send their white students to the black school for their engineering program because their engineering program was that much more supported and things like that. So that's how I kind of had the two different experiences or whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's really, really an interesting perspective overall as a whole. I just think that the looking back, it's just overall school. I mean, the trap of school, the trap of education, just really learning how to navigate those, because even though I did go to a quote-unquote good school, I still only maybe use maybe about 10% of the stuff I learned in the classroom is what I actually use in real life. That's kind of sad if you ask me.
I mean, that probably went anywhere, not just because you went to an HBCU. But, you know.
Yeah. Me too, though. It's all about experience at the end of the day. I feel like my internship helped me more than the school itself.
I mean, but my aspect of it is I spent like the first 20-some years of my life in education, and I'm only using 10%, 7% of that stuff that I learned the first 20 years of my life I'm actually using in my life. It's almost like, well, the other 90% that I was using was a waste. So it's more so looking back in terms of maximizing your time and your potential. It's like, hey, what if I would have used that other 90%, learn how to do other different things, how much further beyond would I actually be?
Right, 100% agree. I feel like for a lot of careers could be learned somewhere else, but it's that diploma that actually, or license that you need to get in order to make that money. But the school itself, it's a rip-off, just taking your money.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of those things. Definitely understand what you mean. But I think it's a really cool topic about that mental health and having you and discuss it more and explore it more, because it all starts right there in the mind, you know?
No, definitely. And you mentioned someone jumping off in school, and that happens very often, believe it or not. It just doesn't come out of the news. Because for some reason, especially in minority schools, it's just a lot of pressure when it comes to school, keeping grades up, working two jobs, paying these bills, problems at home. It's a lot. And most of the times, a lot of our youth start using alcohol while in college.
Oh, wow.
Their percentage is pretty high. That's because of depression and anxiety, so much pressure and for them.
We're alcohol in college.
What?
No, I use alcohol. I use alcohol in college.
You said you was an alcoholic in college? Oh.
Yeah, drugs and alcohol in colleges are very...
Oh, yeah, I use drugs too around there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It definitely exposed you to... I mean, I think the things I learned outside of the classroom were more, impactful or even more detrimental is what it actually did. I think I got exposed to a lot more things at a faster rate because in itself. And it's a reason for that. I got exposed to a lot of stuff at an early age. My best friend, his father was a domestic violence man. He used to always go home and when he'd get drunk, he'd beat up his mom. Mm-hmm. And I know my dad actually worked at the police station. So, I would get the police report of the incident or what happened.
Oh, you didn't know
back in jail again and all that other stuff, and just seeing I asked him. Of course, you know, kids, out of curiosity, you would try to do stuff, but my first week or so in college, I got exposed to alcohol poisoning. Seeing like somebody literally died, the bile, the green bile and all that stuff come out of their mouth and all this stuff. And I remember it was one year I was a college a resident assistant. That's basically like the hall monitor.
RA.
And it was a co-ed dorm, meaning, you know, both guys and girls were on the same floor.
That's what co-ed means.
And I remember what ended up happening is some of the parents, they would always say, hey, here's my daughter, take care of my daughter, watch over my daughter, here's my number, call me if anything goes wrong. I know how these kids can get up here and get crazy and whatever the case may be. And I remember literally that mom left later that night. Her daughter was passed out, alcohol poisoning on the floor. We had to call the ambulance and all that stuff to get her up.
Did you call her mom?
No, I ain't call her mom.
She asked you to do that?
Wow. Do you know how many parents
it don't matter how many that child mama asked you to help her. She asked you. It don't matter how many. You didn't call everybody at one time.
I answered your question. Your question was no, I didn't. You asked me. I ain't got to do that. I don't get paid for that.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look here. You know how your daughter is.
That's why she asked.
So it's more than that. Other aspect is, believe it or not, in college, my roommates were all their fraternities. One of my roommates was the president of the Omegas, the other roommate was the president of the Alphas, and the other, my classmate, who I was my engineering buddy, he was the president of the Kappas. I literally, even though I wasn't in the fraternity, I saw all the fraternity life. I seen them get beat up. I seen all their little tests where they got to memorize, all their little handbooks, memorize, you know, what this mean, what this right here mean, you know. Learn all about their little handshakes and all their parties and all this stuff and the stories about the girls. And it's just almost, it's one of those things where, I think one of my biggest wake-up calls was, it was just simple. One day I had my car, and I was happy I had my car. I'm riding, it was at nighttime I had my car, and I seen this white boy who I ain't seen in like a year or two. And he was one of my suite mates from like my freshman year. And he was walking down the road. It probably had to be maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night. He was drenched in sweat. So I pulled up on the sidewalk. And I'm like, hey, man, you remember me? He's like, yeah, man. I'm like, come on, let me get you a ride. Let me get you a ride. He jumps in the car. We riding down the road. I'm taking him to his place. And I was like, why in the world are you sweating so bad? He was like, oh, man, I just robbed the liquor store, man. They were chasing me. So instantly, I was in a situation driving the getaway car the whole time. And it's just like things to happen where, you know, you just like, whoa. You know, a lot of stuff you just get, you got to start really thinking on your feet. You got to start trying to think in far advance. How can situations measure the risk? How can you get caught up really good? It's a lot of just little traps and stuff like that that can really set you up. Downfalls, pitfalls, and stuff like that. And I think that's what kind of cultivated me of realizing how things really work. People are not really necessary for you. Things can set you up, but life is have a way where you can really get trapped easily. It's just a lot of different obstacles. But I'm thankful and all for those things that kind of, you know, help shape you to the person you are today. But
you're doing
90% of the stuff I learned in the classroom, I didn't really apply in life, you know?
Yeah. But you dorm, right? Dorming, I do not recommend when I have children, they are not dorming. The things that happen in colleges are insane while you dorm.
Did you dorm, or you just went to school to home every day?
For me, I didn't dorm. I traveled every day.
What do you mean you say travel?
Come to school from home, not stay up here.
You stay with your parents the whole
somebody
time.
Somebody hadn't gone. I'm sorry. What do you mean you travel every day?
Because if anybody go to college, you know, if you go to college, first of all, you're probably going to move and relocate every 4 months. So every situation is different. Every semester, your living situation changes. So you can go
to travel on
campus dorm. You can travel to an off-campus dorm. You can live in an apartment complex. You can live in
government
housing. It's a lot. You can live in scholars house. It's like a lot of different options.
No, I commuted.
I probably moved, like relocated maybe 7 or 8 times when I was in college.
No, I commuted. I didn't dorm. It was just too much going on during dorming. I think I went on to visit, and they saw how things were, and they were like, yeah, you're not dorming. And I understand. It was crazy. It was insane.
Girl, look at him. Woo-wee. Yeah,
you don't have to tell me. I already know how wild it was when you were dorming. It's insane.
We were rated the number one party school in the nation when I went.
And it was always overlooked and underfunded. The band and the J, one of the band and set.
That's the dancing. The
only reason people went to the game, Deion, Depp, Notoriety. Even with that being said, this person who put it, I know that person. That person has told so many different stories. The person mama went to school with another person.
She went exactly right. I didn't know that.
There's a lot of stuff we didn't know. We didn't know they were raised up in Michigan.
I thought she went to school in Colorado.
But what they told us, a lot of stuff we don't know.
I don't care who tell it. Don't care when it's told either.
Is there anything y'all need to be asking? Is there anything we need to know about you that we don't know? Well, tell us now. Do y'all not gonna be asking that? Come back later. So, I did it. Just stop it.
I don't care who tell it.
She went to Jackson State. And I heard now Dion was up here. Dion was drinking and the cute dog.
The cute dog party. She got drunk. All that. I don't care who tell it. Don't care when it's
coming.
She said
it's bad when a lie gets tired.
Yeah.
Well, last day, please tell you. I'm just tired. I'm just wore out. I see we got our good brother now, Confederate State Party. You looking good tonight?
Hey,
how we doing?
You sure do.
Looking,
awesome.
Yeah, I just, I guess, I take it for what it's worth. I'm feeling pretty good. That's one of my better weeks. Let me back up a little bit. Greetings to the Fantastic Four, Dr. Joe, Oscar, Miss Julie, the one and only Dr. Tricker. What you got tonight? It's a pleasure to be on the show tonight. I had an opportunity to speak with Dr. Joe. I had a situation earlier this week. Had to go see a psychologist and kind of let him dissect my thoughts and things of that nature. Dr. Dill was very instrumental and helpful in giving me some insight as to how to combat, I'm going to use that word, because I think it's appropriate for what transpired on that night. So they actually the things in which, you know, it was meant to put me in an uncomfortable situation. But I went in, you know, gave them the truth, told them what they needed to hear, what they wanted to hear, and what I wanted to tell them. So at the end of the day, I still felt a disservice because I knew that I was not dealing with an individual. I was dealing with a system.
Hmm.
And while you were doing it, you're teaching. I was just listening to a couple of hours ago about how you were talking about how the system, it kind of dictates and it kind of sets the tone of how we live in society, and it is so true. It's so many different avenues and canals that we have to travel through, red tape, if you will, just to kind of get, you know, just to get an opportunity to get a fair chance, you know. And so you guys tonight are talking about the things which, you know, we all have to address as a society, you know, the black and brown community specifically. And there was something that you guys were talking about the colleges and universities. What I do notice about the so-called black HBCUs and stuff, you look at the booster clubs, these white colleges, they have multi-millionaire, you know, the booster clubs that they provide funds for the athletic departments and things of that nature. And then you may have an HBCU, some, you know, pretty some well-off, you know, supporters, but for the most part, they're not owners of corporations like these white colleges, these PWIs, as you guys call them. So we still are fighting an uphill battle. And then when it comes to education, we're not always privy to the information that our counterparts are privy to as well. The textbooks are not the same. They may try to say it is and it's not. So, I mean, we just have to, like you said, tonight, we have to establish our own. And when we establish our own, we have to defend our own. We have to, yeah. When we build something and start it, we have to stand on it, you know, and be willing to die for it. But, I mean, we'll sell out just for a trinket, you know. It doesn't take anything for us to give up. And you had said something. You said, and it was so inspiring. You said, you know, I used to be one of those people that quit a lot. If I just didn't like something, I just quit. I just gave up. I just quit. And unfortunately, that's the mindset of most of the so-called Negroes. He just gives up. He quits. He gets exhausted. But don't you get tired of your situation? Don't you get tired of people slamming doors faces? And then there's an incident, right? So the situation as to where I was trying to apply for some type of credit or something, right? So they told me about my debt-to-income ratio and all of this, right, using the economical terms. I said, let me ask you this question. How is it possible for me to be in a good situation when our country is in a deficit? So answer me that question. The country that I live in owes other countries. We're operating in the negative off of fiat money. And how am I supposed to be able to sustain myself income-wise, and the country that I live in is fine. So ask me that. You know, but you guys have a line of credit. And you don't want to give me a line of credit, but you guys are bad business, you know, businessmen and women. And then you want to try to, you know, dim a light on me and deny me of something that won't even register on you guys' budget, your budget. So, you know, it's just I don't really have a word for it tonight. It's just it's depressing. It's, you know, mental health, it plays a major role on, you know, you have denied that your intentions are good, but you get the wrong impression for the connection.
There you go.
And Love Doctor, you had asked a question about an article and things that you wanted someone to pull something up last week. You didn't have the opportunity. I sent an email clip over to Ra last week, and I wanted to know if we could play that clip. It's the clip, I believe it was 1968, I don't know, it was 1960 clip of Malcolm X, and they asked him a question, are you an anti-Semite?
Yeah.
And I just want you guys, it's like a 50-second clip, and I want you guys to see what his response was and what your thoughts is on anti-Semitism, which they define as anti-Semitism in a totally different definition of what it really is.
I'm making sure that this should be scripted.
Yeah, if y'all can send me that link.
It's sent to you.
You played last
week.
In the interview, and then they were asking him about the hate.
Look in the private chat.
What he's been done. Right. His Papa Del Cassandra, they called that, you know, he was anti, he was in all kind of anti-Semitic.
You see
it? That's right, I did play it last week. You're right.
No, you can't, it's an Afrocentric language, so I don't know how you can refer to him hating, you know, Semitic people or people that speak, you know, the Arabic language. It's more than one language. Of course, they say it as though it's just the Jewish language. It's not. It's the language that's common among them. They're shared among them. They have certain things that's in common in the language. So, you know, you look at, you know, Semitism, but anyway, Semitic. And it's always something. You know, they create the phenomenon. They create the hopes of things. They create the hate. Love for, just like earlier we was playing with Isaiah Thomas, we're talking about Michael Jordan, how they changed the game for Michael Jordan. And people don't believe it. Kanye West said it. He said, Michael Jordan did it. He said he was a sacrifice. He said they know about it.
Yeah, he did.
And Mike was great. Take nothing away from it. He was great. But they thought they could coin him just like they did with LeBron James. And
wow.
He so much it was ridiculous. A lot of his earlier playing was what? Flopping. Blah! It's playing so much. They're like, man, we got to stop this flopping stuff, man, you know. But they pretty much made it you couldn't touch LeBron. LeBron, they let LeBron walk to the board, walk to the basket. I mean, he should have had one of them pink, one of them, you know, margin for breast cancer. Because, hell, he wasn't. I'm saying he was margin going, man. It's like, man, nobody saw this.
Let me ask you this. About the LeBron thing. Is it his fault
right.
that the rules changed?
Right,
that the game evolved? Is it his fault that he wasn't alive 30 years ago to play against the other guys with different rules?
No, it's not his fault of that. It's just the fact that what did you do for them to let you do what you're doing now?
That's right.
Not the norm. That's the problem. Even Michael Jordan. I was a Michael Jordan fan, so I ain't a person. I hate Jordan. But I still like truth. I like to see that you did what you did, and there was still integrity in it. It wasn't okay. I was their boy, and they made a deal with me to set it up around me. You know, like Tom Brady to me, I like Tom Brady. He's a great quarterback. I'm also a fan of his enough to say it's time for you to go. You're in the way. I'm not. Oh man, he ran on. But see, just know when your time is up and pass the baton. Move on before you drag the game. Now, like LeBron, I'm going to wait to my son. And these people that are bonehead and doing, you need to go ahead and go, and your son probably ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
mention the medics. Many of the things that I've read about you, and you've made a mention a couple of times about the Jews and everything, and I'm wondering if you are personally anti-Semitic.
No. How can I be anti-Semitic when the Arabs are semi-half the Muslim world? Are anti-Semitic, are the anti-Arab, and everything else. No, I think this, that in this country, there's one mistake that the Jews make. They put themselves in a position where whenever anybody gives an objective analysis of the role that they play, they defend themselves by accusing you of being anti-Semitic. And a Negro is not anti-Semitic when he says that the man who's exploiting him in his community is white, because it is a white man who owns all the stores. Now, is it an accident that these whites who own these stores are Jewish? If it's an accident, then the fact that he says the Jew on the corner is exploiting me isn't an anti-Semitic statement. It's just more descriptive of the man who's exploiting him.
Wow.
Yay, Malcolm.
Here's like the homosexual. They don't ever want you to, you know, to identify. They want you to use pronouns.
Exactly.
The little toward the first when you use this pronoun, it doesn't. It's open to suggestive versus just being direct.
Right.
And that's something we have to do. But that goes with us again. And I forgot to put my disclaimer for I am for the liberation, for the establishment of my people, of the ethnic race as well. And it needs to be stated. I've never dropped that cause. I'm for it, working toward it, trying to mobilize people. It is not a secret. I have talked to a couple of people that think they want to be on board and some others. I don't know how far people are willing to go, but I'm willing to take them. You know, I'll let them ride the bus until we get to their stop. But I'll let them know, you know, my destination is further than theirs. So, but I'm for it. I'm pushing for it. I believe in it. And, you know, so we'll be able to, you know, not just stop being questioned and boxed in. You know, fortunately, you know, Malcolm was a very great orator. You know, he was educated smart enough to have tactics for them to know how to, you know, to take their questions that they tried to use to demonize him and explain how and why the situation of the statement was made, putting clarity on it for those that had the ear to hear. You know, back when I was introduced to Malcolm, Malcolm had some pictures. I was told he hated white people, he wanted all white people dead. But I've yet to find that clip, that book, that writing he signed, he said, which tells me how they are, you know, the masters of manipulation and giving you your heroes as well as your villains. So, you know, when people do it, like me, a lot of people are like, oh, use damn. That's an Aubrey word, of course. I can use it differently and don't have to use it. But I have a lot of anger. I will not apologize for my anger. And I feel in order to cure my anger, and all we have to do to fix the problem is that we have to separate. And we have to be a total separate nation where we can, you know, engage and do business, and we have a mutual respect. I think that we should have a gun for every white gun. There should be a black person with a gun. We got to set it to where everybody's on the same number, and then, you know, the chances of disrespect are lessened. All those protest marches that we've ever been to, had the quote-unquote Negro had been armed, the outcome would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to a violent march saying peace when the person is still bringing up the accusation for it is still in the violence, you know, still in control of the violence. Even if the police that said they called themselves monitoring us and keeping us, we still wind up being forced, pushed, because we don't have guns. We need to try to set the thing where everyone's on the same page in order, and that's the way they're going to respect us. People respect countries with nuclear bombs. That's why countries are fighting to get a nuclear bomb. They're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want a nuclear bomb? Why do you have one? It's in case of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I can neutralize a country at one bomb that can just disintegrate it. Well, they're saying the same thing. It's tired of being invaded. And all I'm looking at with the so-called Negro is weird, where he becomes tired of being invaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said a lot.
If I could add to that, I believe there's always one great mind in every generation that comes along, whether it be from the 1800s, the 1900s, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, so forth and so on. And this is just my opinion, and everybody has the ability to think different and express itself differently. But in my opinion, my truth is that you are awesome. I believe in my heart of hearts that you are the face and the voice of our people that really, really want to see change. And I know everybody has their picks you know, and they have that right to. But when you begin to measure man's integrity, what a man stands on, you used to say all the time, this is an attempt to collect a debt. And that debt still, that debt still needs to be paid. And so so you don't vocalize it as much as you did in times past. We don't believe that debt still needs to be paid, and there are payees that should be recipients of that debt. And in order for that debt to be paid, someone has to force the other side to pay the debt. And I believe the way of doing that is to establish, like you said, our own. But we always have, everything has a face to it, you know. Like you were talking about the money, the monopoly money. You had the man on the monopoly bill, so he controls the game. So we have great minds, you know, that look like brothers. Don't put any of them on our currency. They had talked about, you know, at one point putting Harriet Tubman on a $20 bill, but then it was just up to keep the so-called nigga quiet and give him a sense of security of hope that he was almost going to be keeping his counterpart. But I tell you, we have equity within ourselves, like you said, our integrity. You said what I can say once, I can say twice. Yeah. And you said a minute ago about you'll let them ride on the bus until it's time to get off. I tell you this, Mr. Ross, you know, I don't want to ride the bus. I'll walk behind the bus. I'm behind the bus and everything that's important because you, 2 miles in the mic, is truly Barack Potter and so many other people that are associated with you. They want the same for our people, but until we come to a consensus and really, really put some force behind our voices to give it traction, just we still gonna keep having the same conversation. And we can come up with all excuses as to why we can't do it, but at the end of the day, the excuse and the reason we can't do it is because we won't come together.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's something that has to be stated. Again, I am for, and I'll be honest, I have in the past felt like, you know, just us should probably have, you know, the power too. Because when you've been down so long and you've been beat, you have to start looking at self-preservation first. That's not, and you know, they made us hate anybody else who looked at themselves. America looks out for itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're constantly telling us when something happens to us how violence is not the answer, but violence was the cause. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows, but, you know, it's amazing. They say you don't meet it with the same force. Why would foresters, when a fire break out, use fire to help put a fire out?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's necessary to use the same thing in order to bring about the change or the stop each other, to damage each other. And what we had happened so long, everybody talks us down on other great patriots and who we'll let down if we defend ourselves using the same tactics as our attackers. But yet, no one goes to the attacker to talk to him and convince him to pray, convince him to turn, convince him to not let Jesus down. He's following his other counterparts who set the record or set the pace to fire destruction. And our people have to constantly be reminded of it, that fire stays torched in us to realize we're not satisfied. And they'll know we will never be satisfied. We can't just be on the $20 bill. We got to be on the 10, the 1, the quarter, the penny, the dime. Because you have to start looking. It says something about your force of power. The fact, you know, the Romans taught us when Yahushua asked them about the coin, whose was it? Romans ruled. Romans were on the coin. Everybody has ruled, have been on their money. We need to be. And the Venezuelans going to be on the money. Everybody's on their money. We're the only people that spend other people's money and make their money, and yet we have no real voice with it. And we got to get back this control, and I'm a believer that it will help to bring about some of the healing for the so-called Negro. But we're detrimentally violent to ourselves and destructive to ourselves. And a lot of it is because we can't find, where are our books? Where are our institutions? You said, where are our banks? We don't have another way. I know where a black bank, you said eight, you didn't say you know what sell was. You know what I'm saying? We have to start establishing ourselves. And our money can't just go through the federal government. Our money has to go somewhere where it's building up for us. You know, other people do it. The Mexicans will come here, and they'll make money. They'll put it back into Mexico to try to go back and regenerate. we don't even take care of our family. They will send money back to their mama, mama Sita, papa, whatever. They, you know, I'm not saying to be funny, you know, but they look at putting back. You know, we lost that. A lot of people here, immigrants of other countries, send money back. Nigerians send money back. Everybody's sending money back. They look at, hey, I'm over here making more. I can send this back, and it can be a help to you. So now I'm bettering myself. I'm able to help you as well. We'll go, we'll do the universities and do this, and we'll help ourselves, but we can't put anything back. We're creating more debt. So it's so important and imperative that our people talk and sit down and come up with a consensus that really, you know, puts us to where we become proponents of pushing ourselves and not apologizing for our stance of what we do. Real power is recognized through economics and guns. That is not true. Any militia white group, they're never without weapons. But they know in order for them to defend their cause, whether it's against us or whoever, you need weapons. That's your only defense to keep people from invading and overtaking you. Mm-hmm. We've been overtaken and invaded because we don't have the economics and we don't have the gun power. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, boss, President Biden, as of yesterday during the, when Zelensky came in, they have given $42 billion for an effort. They gave a Patriot defense missile system.
Which Russia told them, don't do it. It's going to cause problems.
Yes, sir. And less than, and now, keep in mind, this has been less than one calendar year. Okay, $42 billion. And if you give $42 million and invested in so-called Negro empowerment, what could that do for us? You see what I'm saying? But no one, I mean no one, from Hakeem, what is his name? Hakeem Jeffries, that's trying to take Nancy Pelosi, Sam. You get none of these people on Capitol Hill, none of these people in Washington, D.C. saying, hey, listen, there is a group of people, the Mexicans can go back to Mexico, the Italians can go back to Italy, the Polish can go back to Poland. But where can we go? You even said it yourself. Nobody wants us. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes and defends for us. Nobody speaks for us. But it's so, everybody has an open heart and an open wallet when it comes to helping everyone else except us. Have this young clown that just, I ain't gonna call him a clown. He just got called FTX for this fraud. This man won't probably even do any time in prison. They just picked him up from the Bahamas. But look at all the money he swindled out of people. You know, all this money circulates, and we don't get out a fraction of it. You know, and that's just so sad. And we have people such as themselves. It's true that you can go back and do the research on, and people still will deny the nose that's plain on their face and say that this is not the way to address our problems. And they want to worry about you saying, excuse me, shit, damn it, ass, but what are they doing every time you get a bill in the mailbox? What is it when you get pulled over? You know, you're getting worse than that. But at least you're trying to say something that's trying to empower our people. But they worried about a couple few little words. But look what they're doing us on a daily basis. And it almost makes you want to give up when you're on the people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you give up on your people, what are you saying about yourself? You're giving up on your very self.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't look at it that way and realize, you know, they look at why I'm angry. And I'm not angry at going, let's kill white people or babies or whatever. I'm mad about the situation. And I'm mad about we've been made look. And, you know, speaking from a man's point of view, and we, you know, yourself and love Dr. myself, being a male, there's a very bad stigma about us. If we wear beards, we're not recognized as white people with beards. If our hair grow long, like white guy, a white boy can let his hair grow long, he'll be fabuloso. Remember that white guy here with hair? Nobody called him hippie. Nobody said he couldn't get a job. He introduced the long hair back to the white man, let it blow in the wind, shirt unbuttoned down his
knee.
You know, right. But us, we don't get that right. We had to cut our hair neatly, stay trim, don't face your hair, because they like to demean us. You know, they like to keep us in where we lose, you know, our defense measure or what makes us comfortable or what attaches to us is our nationality. You know, and that's one of the things that is because we have been hidden or separated from our identity for so long, information, it's just natural that I'm going to be upset and angry and panicked. Well, I can't connect back to my roots in a proper form. Anything I want to find out about myself, I got to get it from white research. I got to get it from white researchers who's going to send me on a scavenger hunt that are going to get me direct to a white person. And I'm going through a I got a damn scavenger hunt. I got to go through so many books and websites. And this person will argue this and say, no, it actually this to this to this. And I can't get to anyone that can give me a concrete answer a lot of times to questions. But numbers that we need to know, it roots us to ourselves so we know how to come up. We can come up from that point and know how we should flourish, you know, and we don't have it. So naturally we're destructive and we take on other people's identities. And we try to identify with other people and other ethnic languages. You know, like you say, you went to school to learn Spanish. Me personally, I think it's an insult that try to make me learn Spanish when I'm from a Cuban line and I need to know a language. That, you know, they're not going to go and make them learn. They're not going to go to a South American country and make them learn African. Uh-huh. They're not going to learn Nigerian. They're not going to, nobody's going to teach it. First of all, this is not the language of the country. America is always against us in a way. It divides us. It's nothing against Spanish-speaking people, but you got to understand my situation. You ain't recognize Ebonics, but you recognize Valley. Oh, Johnny Smiles gagging me with a spoon. You know what I'm saying? So what's up, my nigga? You know what I'm saying? They're doing a dude. You know what I'm saying? You know how nigga they're trying to make it? Oh, we can't recognize that. That's ignorant speaking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They take away from us. Jive was our stuff. You know, they would call it jive talking. They call people jive turkeys. So our language evolved and we had to communicate. When we were slaves in America, what did we say earlier in our slavery, in being slaves in America, we had to communicate. So we couldn't communicate. He put different tribes together so they couldn't communicate and get away. So we learned key words and things we could all attach to, and we learned how to verbally communicate with each other enough to get things done. And we got to get back to that point. Learn how to communicate with each other enough to get things done.
Right.
And you know what? You said something about we go and learn an alternative language. So, they don't care about us, about people of color learning African languages, only if it's not colonized. If it's a colonized African, as they would call language, they don't mind go ahead learning that, but it's not been colonized. They don't want you learning that to find what your identity and your roots are. That's why they try to get rid of our, like we would call our ancient of days, and what the so-called Africans would call the griot. The ones that, you know, told the younger generations about, you know, their culture and their upbringing and things from days of old. I was looking at a segment today about what they're doing now. They've been doing it for a while. If I just got the information, they've probably been doing it for decades, how they've been desecrating a lot of these